listening to the Tennis.com podcast. And here's your host, Ed McGrogan.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to the Tennis in 10 podcast. I'm Ed McGrogan, and we're going to run down the upcoming Wimbledon finals. We know both of them now. I'd like to get to the women's first, which features Venus Williams versus Garbiñe Muguruza. That will commence perhaps by the time you're hearing this, hopefully a little earlier, hopefully a little after, I meant to say. And then just recently decided will be Roger Federer against Marin Cilic in the men's final. Two finals that certainly not too many could have predicted. Cilic and Federer, perhaps. I will say that I did pick Cilic to win this tournament, and now I'm being faced with the question of, do I stick with the person who brought me here or go with Federer, who just looks so good? He has not dropped a set this tournament. I did think that in today's semifinal against Thomas Berdych, I felt like a set was going to go Berdych's way, if for no other reason than his serve, his firepower. He had beaten Federer actually at Wimbledon before and at another slam at the Open. He played him pretty well in Miami as well this year, had a match point. They did play at the Australian Open too. Federer easily defeated Berdych. That was kind of a precursor to what ended up happening within the rest of this year. But it was two tiebreakers that that Federer took command of pretty quickly. And with those two in the bag, he was able to lean on Berdych long enough in the third set. Berdych never really made his way forward ahead of Federer really at any point in this match. It was a close match. It was, I don't think a lot separated them in the end, but within the confines of the individual games, sets, they were close, and Federer was made to hit, I thought, some of his best shots he's made all tournament. Berdych certainly didn't do himself a lot of favors with some pretty untimely errors and errors on shots that he'd love to have back. Short forehands, few volleys. Federer, as you would expect, took advantage of all of those and wins 7-6, 7-6, 6-4. And like I said, I want to get to that, of course, eventually, but I do want to start with Venus and Muguruza, being that that's the upcoming final. And looking at Venus, who really, you know, impressed me so much against Johanna Konta because of, you know, there was so much, I thought, going against her in that crowd. Now, the crowd obviously supports Venus, too. But, you know, Britain, you know, with Murray out in the previous round, had, you know, Konta as their sort of their last hope. And Konta obviously played very well to get to the semis. But this was, you know, sort of like Roger in his match against Berdych. I thought Venus perhaps saved her best match of the tournament for this semifinal. And in doing so, you know, like Federer, just rekindling these, you know, it's astonishing how long ago we've seen this level of tennis from both of these two, and we're still seeing it now in 2017. When you look back at the start of this year, and if you could have predicted that possibly Venus, Federer, Rafa, and Serena would have major titles before the U.S. Open, I mean, that's, give me the odds on that, given what had happened to all of these players last year. And, you know, to do that, Venus will have to defeat Muguruza, of course. You know, she has a 3-1 head-to-head lead on the Spaniard. They did play earlier this year on clay in Rome. Muguruza got her first win over Venus there in three sets. Venus's wins came in 13, 14, and 15, all on hard courts. They've never met on grass, but to me, grass treats each of their games very well, augments what they do nicely. Muguruza, it should be said, as well as Venus looked, you know, she may have saved her best match too for the semifinals, though I would contend that her win over Angelique Kerber in three sets was really the most impressive performance. Magdalena Rybakova just did not have it like she did against Vandeweghe and against Karolina Pliskova against when she faced Muguruza on Thursday. It was completely one-sided, and Muguruza, you know, shows obviously what she can throw at Venus on Saturday, primarily with the serve and the forehand. And it's what Venus does, you know, as well. It's a very tough one to call because, you know, it's the storyline sort of seems like it's pointing toward that incredible last hurrah for Venus with Serena, obviously not here. But it's also, you could also say that this has been a long time coming for Muguruza too, where she is a former finalist. She won a Grand Slam last year, lest we forget. And it seems as if it's only a matter of time before she really should assert herself as one of the game's, you know, a standby in the top five. She was amazingly, believe she's still ranked number 14 at the moment. Number 15, excuse me. Astonishing given her gifts, but you have to remember she's only 23, 14 years younger now than Venus Williams. So what a disparity in the age too. But when you think of it that way, you know, I don't get the sense that experience or the moment is going to differentiate this match. Both of these two are seasoned in this regard and playing in incredibly pressure-packed matches. You know, it's a matter of execution, plain and simple. I don't think you have to overthink this match because of that. And you know, hopefully we're treated to two players who execute very well, and we'll just see who can do it just a little bit better than the other. That's our women's final. It's a great one. And I think we'll get another good one on the men's side too. Only because, boy, it's hard to think that Roger can get through this without losing a set. Certainly on that path, and you know, Marin Cilic against Sam Querrey, that match was also in the balance for a little bit. You know, Querrey had actually an early edge in the first set, was unable to win it, took lost in a tiebreaker. Querrey had a break a serve lead in the fourth set, but Cilic turned that around as well. Cilic again, you know, this in some ways this does remind me of the Venus Muguruza final. I've made some parallels between Federer and Venus, of course, but there are many in Cilic and Muguruza too. They have both won one major. They have been kind of trying for really most of their fairly young careers. Cilic, a little older than Muguruza at 28, but has been trying to make inroads amongst a clear top tier ruling class, but they have obviously have shown the potential, the games, the proof that they're able to do that. Cilic has beaten Federer at a major before, 2014 U.S. Open semifinal. It's one that it was completely one-sided, a straight set, just stunner that happened on a day when Djokovic also went down to Kei Nishikori. And, but other than that, really the head-to-head is very much in favor of Federer. He leads Cilic 6-1 in that regard. That is the only one he has. It's the biggest one. They have met at Wimbledon before. They met last year in a very memorable match. That was one where Federer went down two sets, came back to win in five, saving match points along the way. The fourth set was an 11-9 tiebreaker win for Federer. So we're going to get a great replay of that match. And you know, with that and with kind of that U.S. Open still, I think kind of those are their last two matches. All the previous ones, Federer won on hard courts. There's one clay meeting they had at Monte Carlo. In every single match they've played at a major, Cilic has won at least one set. He won one at the 2011 U.S. Open. They actually played in the third round there. And then, of course, what I just said about the 2014 semis and last year at Wimbledon. So, you know, it's a tough one for me because I picked Cilic to win this tournament. I also did not suspect that Federer could look this good. He's taken advantage of everything, certainly, but by no means is that any reason that he is in the position he's at now. He has, you know, he's gotten some advantageous matchups that I would say he prefers along the way. Thomas Berdych today, a perfect example. Raonic, Dimitrov, guys he has mostly dominated throughout his career. Cilic, you know, as I said, is the same way. I find it hard to figure that Cilic will kind of go away and wilt and go down, quite honestly, to say it, in straight sets, because I think Cilic has been building toward this for a while, like Muguruza. I think he realizes that, and a lot of us assert that, you know, once you get past the big four, you know, it's Cilic is as good as anybody else out there, especially on grass. His game is wonderful on that surface. Of course, you know, Roger Federer is pretty good on grass too. He's reached his 11th Wimbledon final, I believe, in 19 appearances. For all the stats you can think of Federer over his career, that, you know, that's one that just on its own, don't say anything else about it. How incredible is that? I think there'll be two good finals. I think they're very similar in sort of the thematics behind them. And, you know, as these things do, comes down to execution. Let's see who's more excellent. That's all I have for now. We'll talk again after both finals here on the Tennis.com podcast. Thank you for listening. This is Ed McGrogan.
You've been enjoying the Tennis.com podcast. For all the latest news and events, head over to Tennis.com.